Welcome to Energy Unleashed.
Hello and welcome everyone to another Energy Unleashed. This is a podcast where we talk about energy. My name is Suzanne Worthley. I'm an energy practitioner and my co-host, Kim Hess.
Hello. Hey, Kim.
We talk about actual energy sessions that I have as a practitioner. My clients allow me to talk about them in terms of what happens in their sessions so that we can all share and learn from one another. Now, I do this anonymously, obviously, but every person that I work with has something that is common for everybody to learn from. So I'm going to go into the session a little bit, and then we're going to bring Kim in a moment or two to kind of unleash it and put another perspective on things. But one of the things I'm seeing a lot lately is people are challenged with the death process. Now, this is not a really fun subject for many, but as a practitioner, this is a very important subject matter. Now, me personally, I am a daughter of a mortician. So death and dying is a very common thing for me ever since I was a kid. So as a practitioner, I moved into hospice work, death and dying work. And I work with the client or the patient, if you want to use that wording, at the end of life. So I have been a hospice volunteer for many, many, many years, which brought me to a place of almost interviewing these clients when they were in a non-responsive state through my telepathic skills as a psychic medium. And I started to actually chart the process of death. That led me to putting these materials together for the hospice group to train other volunteers. And then that PowerPoint became more and more hands-on materials. It became handouts. It became an ebook. And eventually I was asked to publish the book. So I have a book that I published with Tim Horn and Inner Traditions called The Energy Healer's Book of Dying. And this was kicked off in 2020, which was a little tough because that was the year of COVID. And it is actually an incredible handbook for anyone that is going through the death process, because what it does is it breaks down how the body actually moves through the stages of death, energetically speaking. And I believe this is such an awesome tool for anybody that is going through any form of sickness and or even struggles with themselves, much less sitting vigil or being a caretaker or a family member or friend of someone who is actually in the death experience. We're going to bring Kim in a second because she actually utilized this book in a family scenario where she did sit through a vigil situation with a family member. But I would like to tell you, a lot of my clients are really struggling. You know, COVID did everybody in a number of ways, and it made the death process really, really scary, because day after day, we were watching numbers and numbers and numbers on the TV of deaths. We were watching horrific film coverage. We were threatened, you know, with you can't touch this, you can't touch that because you're going to die. I mean, it really put a head spin on so many people. So I am in office now working with many, many people that are huge, huge stress, post trauma, overwhelmed, terrified of losing people, and on it goes. And this has been rampant for the last couple of years. We've already had a tough, you know, process of dealing with death as Americans, but this has escalated over the last couple of years. And I am finding people coming in worrying about their children. I am finding children worrying about their parents. There isn't an age to this. And so I would just like to sort of open up this conversation and have this death culture looked at a little bit more differently. And I would like to bring Kim in now, because Kim, we've been friends for a long time. We do a lot of work together. But you actually had a family member that was in a situation on and off for a while, actually, because she was a bit older. And you can give kind of like a summary of her maybe journey. But I actually worked with you in terms of remote assistance on this particular gal. And then during the actual death process, you literally did use the steps in my book. So why don't you give the listeners a little bit of information on that family member and kind of capsulize what was going on, and then we'll kind of break it open from there.
Okay. Yes. I was very just privileged to have time with my aunt who had a stroke. It was a severe stroke that really changed, you know, how her brain processed things. And She was very confused about where she was a lot of the time, but this was years, like we're talking 4 or 5 years of living in assisted home after the stroke. And what was interesting is that that first part of time, a couple of years, she really struggled with material things. Where's my car? Where's my wedding ring? Where's my clothes? Who has my dresser? I don't understand where everything is. And it took her a long time to process and get to a point where those material things didn't matter. And it moved into a period of, you know, and I, honestly, about her, she was very poverty conscious. She grew up very poor as a child. There was some abuse, I think, in their family. And so there were a lot of things in her lower chakras that she was dealing with in this transition. And so once she got past a little bit of the material, where are my things? She started to wonder where her husband was, and her husband had been gone for 20 years. But during that transition, she'd say, "Hey, Howard stopped by today." And we're like, oh, okay. I think he probably did, you know? And so I think he was part of her transition for quite a long period of time as well. And made visits. And so then we finally got to the point where, she had had another stroke and we were at the end of her, they put her into hospice. They were at the end of her transition. And, during that time, I was able to spend many days with her in the home, which with COVID, that was kind of right when they started letting people back in to the rooms because the family members couldn't go in. I mean, we visited her and looked through the window and waved at her, and she had no idea what was going on at a certain point. So once I was able to sit with her, your book was so helpful for that summary because I could, well, when I close my eyes, I can see some aura colors or chakra colors or different colors. And so when I would sit with her, I could see in her lower body, it started to get darker and, and the energy levels were moving, changing, going up her body. When she got to the heart area, right before the heart area, she spent a lot of time in that place. And I think that it was really kind of fear-based. And so when I sat with her, I was like, gosh, I just feel like she's afraid of something. And when I talked to my mom and dad about it, she was afraid to meet her dad. She brought up her dad a lot. And I think that's where the abuse was. And so I went to bed that night and I woke up and it's like, you want me to write down a prayer right now for her? Okay. What are the words? Like, what are some of the things that I need to write down? And I ended up writing a prayer through or being the vessel for the prayer for her. And we went in and read it the next day. And it was amazing, the change in her body. And she relaxed more. She quit making the kind of funny noises or the struggle. She seemed to be struggling. Once we, you know, did that prayer and went through everything, she started to progress more and the colors became very vibrant from her heart up, and it became very magenta and in the room, very magenta. And then in the, like kind of the corner of the room, it was very white, kind of white light. But you could feel the energy in the room just became very magical, very like my mom and dad sat there like, what? Like, this is so different from yesterday. What's happening?
Right.
And she made it past that fear, resolved whatever that was. And then she started to progress fairly quickly. And then I know I had to leave to go home because she, I mean, it was quite a while that she was going through this process. And, by the time I got home from Nebraska, she died like a half hour later. Like, thanks, Aunt Gracie. I guess I'll be down in a couple of days.
Right. Now I got to turn around and come back.
Exactly. But it was just amazing to read your book and see the different stages and what the different chakras do and the energy. And it was very helpful for my parents because they had never looked at the death process like this before. Right. They looked at it as the very physical, you know, transition, but not the spiritual or the energy transition. So I just was really grateful to have your book to go through that process with.
And the way that the book is written, for anyone that isn't aware of it, it really goes through the chakra process. And Kim and I do, like I said, a lot of other work together. And I work on her a lot in terms of her chakras. So she's very familiar. The chakras are our energy centers, and they all carry different gasoline or fuel for our vehicle or our body, if you want to look at those metaphors. And these fuel centers or this gasoline during the death process slows down and then eventually stops coming in to fuel the body. And this is how the body shuts down and dies. Now, if we understand this process and we understand the actual chakras and the consciousness behind them, as Kim said, we can kind of assist that person that's dying and or assist ourselves in our own death process by making peace with anything that is stuck and or unresolved in these energy centers. Now, you said that your aunt at one point in time was a little bit afraid to see her dead dad because he was the one that possibly was abusive to her. These are relationship chakras. So again, in the lower part of the body, when Kim was seeing density or darkness in those chakras or heaviness, this is fear. This is trapped energy. Now, this trapped energy is in our body the entire time. Her Aunt Gracie had this in her body all the time. And until we release that fear, it will dis-ease the body and eventually it can cause disease or any kind of uncomfortable, you know, back pain, tummy pain, whatever, because it's stuck energy. So one of the reasons I wrote this book, beyond being with your loved one when they're dying and understanding the process, is to help us to understand that we're doing this work anyway as we're living. Mm-hmm. We are able to already clear these chakras when we are alive, which then makes that death process easier when it is in transition. This is a tool for anybody that is alive and walking around because this stuck energy is already dis-easing your body and can turn into a disease in the body. So it's a health and wellness kind of aspect to look at as we're walking around each and every day, right? I mean, what we want to look at. So,
well, I know when think about when I lost my job, my life was around doing, and all of the material things that come with that and the paycheck that comes in. And it took me a long time. And when you look at your book, you can take that section, especially your root chakra and going up into your sacral and working through those things to understand what are those connections in your body. Mm-hmm. And I remember that when I would go for a walk, I would be so heavy, like my just walk was just heavy. And then after you go through and do some healing and you realize and you acknowledge and you release some of that, my body became lighter because the energy right. became lighter and it was working better. So that book is super, I wish I had that book like 30 years ago. Can you imagine?
because we don't teach people how to die. No. We don't teach people that we're dying while we're living and we're living as we are dying, et cetera. It's a crossover. And so hopefully we're getting this information out by having more conversations on death. You know, everyone is so scared to die. I even love, and I'm not making fun or judging, take what resonates in any of these guys, because these are personal perspectives, but my personal perspective on even the word, you know, she passed. We can't even say she died. I mean, it's interesting to me because, again, being a mortician's kid, we said he died, she died all the time because they technically died. And we say he or she passed. And it's like, passed where? I mean, passed over, crossed over. You know, we should maybe look at the word transmuted or transitioned even, because that's technically what's happening. This field of energy is not even necessarily dying. It's transmuting, it's changing, it's going back to source energy. It's moving from a meat and bone vehicle kind of a reality creational experience back to source energy where we started from in the first place. So it is indeed a transmutation or a transition. So it's difficult to see people, in my eyes, struggle with this stuff so much because we're all going to die. That's a given. I mean, that's not a big surprise, right?
No.
When and how and when is what freaks people out. And as I said, in the last months, I have had the amount of clients that has gone through the roof in the last 2 years since COVID on visceral fear of losing somebody and terror that they might die and leave their kid, or their kid might die and leave them, or their partner may, or, because again, during this time period, we were so programmed that everyone was going to die, that it put in such trauma into the situation. And hopefully now that we are talking about this more and realizing death is a normal process, we can de-escalate some of that fear in conversations like this, because everyone gets to die. This is what I say in the book, and it's very important for us to think about this. It isn't that even that everyone's going to die. It's that everyone gets to die. And that's a hard comment for someone to look at if they haven't even thought about this or expanded their brain, because it feels like it's something that happened to me. And when we understand from the soul's perspective, I chose from a higher perspective of my God source to go back to that space and place. And it's part of my journey. And when we can get to that place of honor, this is what changes the perspective and the fear base. And so I think you saw that so great with your aunt, because it changed her frequency. When you give her prayer is an opportunity to support your decision.
Yeah.
Right.
And it just was amazing how like the transition or the change in her around those words.
Right.
And it was really, really great for my mom and dad and I, because it gave her permission also, like, not that she needed it, but it was like a communication, even though she couldn't talk to us, that we love you and it's okay.
You know? And you did actually give her permission, whether you know it or not, subconsciously, telepathically, heartfelt wise, energetically. It is important for us to give permission to someone to die, because this does give them the energetic release that gets out of all of those belief systems of I have to stick around.
Right.
I mean, think of the programming that we have as human beings. I can't leave. I'm going to miss somebody. I'm going to miss somebody's graduation or their wedding. Mm-hmm. I want to be involved. I want to see my grandkids grow up. All of these silly thought patterns that we have are very 3D oriented. And when we understand, of course, I'm still going to see my kid graduate or get married. I'm just not going to do it in a meat and bone vehicle, right? But I am going to see it. We can start to open our processes up on how we move through our lives with fear or with love in terms of supporting someone's choice to go on. And we don't like that. We want them here because we want them here.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's harder for the people that are left behind because they miss them. They want them in their lives. And so going to the wedding, going to the graduation, you're thinking about how you're going to miss that person in all of those situations.
Yep. So, and hopefully in the work that I do and the perspective that I offer and invite, and again, I'm not here to tell anyone how to think or believe or even act in life. I'm just offering a different perspective in that if we honor the fact that this higher self of this person has chosen to leave this plane of existence because they did all they came here to do from a higher perspective, we can honor the fact that they're doing exactly what they want to. This is similar to, not the same, but metaphorically similar to encouraging my kid to go off to college to have some really awesome experiences and learn and grow. We leave this plane to go off to another place to have all kinds of experience, study and learn and grow. We just don't do it in our meat and bone vehicle. So if we can honor that in different ways down here, let's maybe expand our minds and our hearts to honor the fact that when my loved one is moving onward, they get to.
Mm-hmm. They do get to. Yeah.
Yeah. So the root chakra that you made reference to a couple of times, Kim, is very, very important for us to work on while we're still alive, in my opinion, which is that connection to the plane of Earth itself, but we as humans do not understand how to even connect to the Earth itself. Therefore, we've reprogrammed this chakra into family belief systems, society belief systems, patriarchal box systems. This is fight or flight. This is money. This is materialism. That's technically not what this chakra is about. This chakra is about understanding I am part of the Earth itself, that I am a co-creator and a guardian of this planetary system. And that's not even in anyone's kind of wheelhouse of thought, right?
No.
So sadly, we have put in money, stuff, 401k, house, relationship. And so this is the most difficult chakra for many to step out of. And it oftentimes is the first one to shut down. And it's a struggle for many. Like you said, people get funny about their stuff, their money, their things. These are mine. it gets, and this moves up into the sacral and into the solar plexus as well, where our will center comes into play. And we get angry about our things and our people and our possessions. These are things, in my opinion, that one would maybe want to invite themselves to release now when they're not even in the death process, because it certainly changes how you move through life on a daily basis. It changes your creational reality fuel from a fear-based system to a love-based one when we realize that's all just materialism, right?
Yeah. And I was just on a girls' weekend this last weekend, and it was funny because one of the gals that we were with wanted to go shopping, and the rest of us are like, we don't need anything. Why do we need to go around the stores? I've already got junk at home I need to go through. What do we need to do this for? Like, what? Wow. And so it was fun to be with people that are like-minded that way, that are not about, I need to go get the best of the best of whatever at the cheapest price. You know, I felt really good being in that place, because I would have been right there, you know, 6 or 7 years ago. Yes.
And this is a program. Don't fool ourselves.
Yeah.
We're approaching, when we're doing this actual videotaping, we're approaching Thanksgiving, yes, Black Friday, craziness shopping. Even if I don't need that 65-inch TV, I sort of think I'm supposed to need it because everyone else is telling me I need it.
It's such a good price.
These are mind games that we all fall for. So this root chakra and solar plexus chakra are something that, in my opinion, are in need of monitoring, cleaning out, and clearing out as we're alive on a daily basis, because we don't need all of that stuff. And it's important for us to go through our own matrix and understand, hey, I'm only running a program here, you know, because this will be a fear factor when I get to that death process. Like, where's my stuff? You know, mostly this is called loss of control, which is going now into the solar plexus. So the solar plexus, right in the, you know, higher gut area underneath where the ribs come together, this is that ego power center that can be really, really off. And this is where people get angry when you're taking my stuff. Where's my money? I'm losing control. What do you mean I can't drive anymore? These are when we see like our parents or our loved ones or even our spouses going through these steps of releasing. This is something, again, in my opinion, that is important to work on when we are alive and well, so that the body is releasing this stuck energy or stuck belief system now. Because when we are laying in a bed, most likely unresponsive, non-responsive, going through this in a spiritual way, this transitions the body so much quicker and easier. Right.
Yeah. But so let's talk about if you're ill and you're going through a long period of time through the death process is different than maybe a child or a tragic accident or something like that. How does that differ when you think about that transition for somebody?
Right. And those are really tough ones. And again, this is why I wrote the book in a methodical way, so that we could understand the steps and the processes. Mm-hmm. That said, there's many people that will, you know, get killed instantly or brutally have something happen or miscarry or die from a disease very young. It's extremely difficult for people to understand the death process when their child is young and leaves this plane of existence before they do, because our logical head says, I'm the older one, I'm the parent, I go first.
Right.
And this, again, is why, in my opinion, again, take what resonates, in my opinion, it's important for us to understand the soul and how the soul works and what the soul comes here to do and contracts for. Mm-hmm. So there's many chapters in the books that refer to soul contracts, Akashic records, Book of Life, co-contracting with one another, why I'm here for the period of time that I am here for and what that lesson was about. So these are really bigger processes to think about. And many people don't resonate with that because they're like, hell no, I don't believe that. That's ridiculous. I would never sign up to have my kid die at age 3. And as a practitioner who's done this for many years and talks to many, many dead people, I, from an energy standpoint and a soul standpoint, would beg to differ, because they do come in with a specific amount of lessons or experiences that they are wanting to do. And there isn't a time on it. There isn't an age on it. It's what they came to offer themselves to learn. And when we co-contract with someone else, that parent or whoever it's affecting is also participatory in those lessons from their own soul's standpoint. And so this kind of a paradigm shift in how we honor the death process can really help heal the heart and know that there isn't a guy on a cloud that took my kid away and now I'm angry. And so this is old thinking that maybe needs to be expanded and invited to grow into, to say, no, this being, if it was 18 months old or 8 years old or 18 years old or 80 years old, knows exactly what it's doing from that higher perspective when it leaves this plane, even though down here in 3D, it doesn't necessarily look like that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, our family, I lost a sister when I was 4 years old, basically. And the impact of everyone in the family was very different. And I think that it brought to light healing that needed to happen even in our lineage of baby death. And not knowing that, though, my parents were really young. I was really young. It became, looking back, you can see how everyone dealt with it and how they finally came to terms, you know, with the death. But for me as an oldest child, it really bothered me that everybody was so sad. So I took on that peacemaker. I want to make people happy. I'll be a good child because I want everyone to be happy. And that was a lot of what I had to work with. When you look at that 3D, you know, the bottom three chakras, you know, of what did I have to, what do I need to acknowledge and bring forward and release, because it wasn't my responsibility.
And those twisted belief systems create a narrative that then you feed your entire adult life, and it pushes and pushes and pushes an agenda for you that if you understood from the get-go that this was part of the contract for that soul, you could have released all of that and not had this extra stress and burden. Right. I have had numerous clients come into my office that are angry because they've lost someone. And this is a very natural response for the human if they aren't educated in the death process. And I'm not judging anything about that, because that is one of the actual phases of grief, right? Anger. But when we can look at this process with a bigger perspective and invite the concept in of higher self, soul contracts, Akashic records, book of life. And if all of these words are new to you, go ahead and maybe just study, or even go to my website. There's tons. It's important for us to possibly look at that information. That's why I stuck it in this book, because it is relative, directly relative to the process of death. And when we can open our heart to that, there's more going on here. I don't have to be as angry possibly, because that anger is going to fester inside of my own system, my own chakras, my own body. And it's going to put a different perspective on the entire reality that I'm living for my entire life, unless I choose to change that. And indeed, we can. I've seen it happen multiple times in my office when we talk about the perspective of a contract and what do you get to learn from this as well. And their eyes just kind of go ding, and the head, you know, the light goes on, and they're like, well, wait a minute, I never thought of that. Again, I'm not here to be someone's truth. I'm just here to offer and invite. Grow your mind on these things. Grow your mind through anger and abandonment, because it's not what it is. Don't make it about you. Honor the concept that that higher self of that person knows exactly what they're doing.
Right, right.
And that's hard, right?
It's really difficult, especially coming to terms with the fact that there's a contract, you know, that we all come in with. That took me a long time to get my head around, especially the beliefs that I had around how life really works through my religion. So, that was really hard to balance out and understand and, make it mine, you know, of I own this, this is what I came in to do, or this is how it was meant to work. So.
And dogmatic, you know, religions, Christianity, Catholicism, all of those things, I'm not knocking any of it. What anybody wants to believe in, great. And there's threads of actual crossovers and all of this stuff. But those, in my opinion, also make it a very separate process, that you go home to a place and that there's a guy and that there's judgment and there's all these things, versus transmutation back to where I started in the whole I am presence in the first place, and that I'm co-creating this and I'm in command of this with everything, not just being fucked off this planet. And so this is really bigger thinking, and it's really can expand one's vision of God. Whatever your God package is, great, make it your own. But maybe throughout your life, expand that process if you choose to open your heart and don't let your logical mind get into play. You said a really awesome thing earlier about being in your aunt's room and especially with your parents. The death process is a privilege. This is a miracle. It is a freaking cool, unbelievable process of feeling, watching, intuiting, knowing energies that aren't necessarily there, but they are there. They're very much there. Mm-hmm. And so the more that you can open up your so-called spidey senses or your psychic abilities to feel these things, and this is done via the heart, not the logical brain, it is important for us to watch for those signs instead of being so sad and so scared. When you say you see a light in the corner, that literally is the light of Source and God itself and the benevolence, the angels, the angelics, the guides, the everything coming in. And I write specifically in the book where they come in, how they come in, because I watched hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. And there is a pattern, in my opinion, again. But this transmutation comes forward because these benevolents come forward. Okay. There's a merging, and it's fascinating, and it's fabulous, and it's amazing, and it's an honor. But no, we're so sad and pissed off and angry that we miss the beauty. And mm-hmm. so this is another reason why I put it into something that you can hold on to. The book has very much, very full chapters, but then at the end, it has like summarizations where you can actually watch the body and know what it's doing. So it takes the fear away. And one of those does highlight the entrance of the benevolence in the corner and how the energy in the room changes and how the thickness turns into lightness in the room, et cetera, et cetera. So these are tangible things that anybody, psychic or not, anybody can actually experience if they choose to with an open heart and mind.
Oh, right? Yeah. It was amazing, amazing experience. And yeah, while we miss her, I'm just so happy for her. she's doing great.
Yeah, she was a delight. I got to talk a lot with her during the process and then after death. And she is really quite a hoot, actually. And yeah. She likes to come back. And she likes, and we've witnessed this together, where she comes back and she activates things that will go off, or you know, electric, or you know, moving things or whatever. So it's always a joy to see that somebody can come back from across the veil to make their presence known, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when they got a little bit of smart ass in them.
she has a lot of that.
Which is really fun. I want to round down with one more thing that I find a lot in my office, which is, and you kind of alluded to it, but you already knew the concept, so it didn't bother you. The concept of not being there. I have many, many clients come in so heartbroken, even for years, much less months or weeks. I wasn't there. I didn't get there. I tried really hard to get there. I couldn't make it home. You know, all these things about you getting there in time. This is one of the biggest things that people hold guilt around. Oh my God, I just went to the bathroom and then he or she actually died. You know, this is because the person in the process is in charge. This is because that person who is laying in that bed or, you know, across the states or around the world, whatever, they are in charge of this process. And so you being there and not being there, it doesn't really, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, because it matters for you. You think it matters for them. You think you want to be there to support them, and I want to be there, and I want to hold their hand, and I want to make it better. I'm here to tell you there's enough help in that room that if you are there or not there is really more about you. Mm-hmm. And so when we have this guilt of I didn't get there, it's really a guilt that you're holding on yourself, because you're taking this perspective that I should have been there to help. I could have done something for him or her. I could have made it easier. And this is all, again, not necessarily a truth, unless you want to believe that, but it isn't energetically a truth, because there is plenty of energetic help going on here. And oftentimes the person chooses to leave the plane of Earth when the bodies are not there, because that's their choice.
Yeah.
And this is their peace, and this is their actual ease. And lots of times when we're in the room and and all doing the vigil and all doing our stuff, it's actually more agitating. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling like I need to energetically stay in participation. Whereas when they finally leave, I can finally just let go. Mm-hmm. So whether or not that resonates, great, but if you're trying so hard to get there and don't get there, please know that you're still there. I write in the book again about how I interviewed people in the death process telepathically about how they can fly out of their body and go see loved ones. This is why we have what we call flybys. This is why you knew your neighbor the other day was already gone when everybody else didn't know. We have this feeling because the spirit is what comes to us, not the meat and bone body. The spirit comes through. Oh my God, I had this feeling that Grandpa died at 10 o'clock. And sure enough, he died at 10 o'clock and it was halfway around the country. That's because of omnipresence. And so if we can honor that and understand that, we don't have to put so much pressure on ourselves to not even go to the bathroom or get some fresh air, right? So that's a big deal.
So many people have stories about as soon as we left the room to go to lunch or we took a bathroom break and then they were gone. And my grandmother did that. You know, my aunt, my dad, aunt and uncle, like we're going to go for a half hour. We'll be back. And she chose that time while they were gone.
Yep. And again, this doesn't mean that they didn't want you there.
Right,
it isn't about you. You know, we have this tendency as humans to be very selfish in terms of our energy. And it's like, well, you know, what do you mean they didn't want me there? That's not what it's about. So it's important for us to keep our ego in check when we're having situations like this and understanding the processes. And then lastly, I want to end with inviting them to go is extremely important. And you did this as well with your prayer, et cetera. When we allow those loved ones to know it's okay, that we will be okay and everything will be okay. When we invite that, now sometimes we can't do that verbally because it may scare the others or the person in the bed or whatever, but do not underestimate the ability of heartfelt telepathy, meaning prayerful words in our head. We can say this in our hearts and in our heads. Hey, mom, I know you're getting close. Go ahead and go. We're going to be fine. Hey, mom, it's all right. You know, the house is going to be great. The money's all taken care of. All those things are supportive. And again, I do this in a very detailed way in the book at certain stages, because this allowing and this invitation is an energy force that supports that. Whereas if we don't talk like that, because God forbid, that sounds scary. I don't want you to die. That actually doesn't allow the energy to move.
Right.
You know, so
yeah,
and it gets easier and easier as you talk it through. Right. I mean, it becomes like normal.
Oh, it does. I think 7 or 8 years ago, I couldn't even walk by a funeral home without crying. So I think working through what this all means, and especially understanding contracts and understanding what that individual spirit is doing and understanding my spirit in that experience has really changed how I see death significantly.
Great.
So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Go get the book because it's really good.
You know, and again, Energy Healer's Book of Dying, it is a great process to work through. You can find it on my website. You can Google my name, Suzanne Worthley, or my website is sworthley.com. You can find it on Amazon, anywhere online, and it's also on Kindle. So it is a great thing to have at bedside. It's a great thing to have at bedside, period, right? Death bedside or just sleeping bedside. So it's just, I think it's really important information, and it's time, in my opinion, that we start talking about this stuff, because as I said, we're all going to die and we all get to. So it's a beautiful transmutation of energy, love, and support if we allow it to be. So take what resonates today. I know this is a big subject. On behalf of Kim and I, we look forward to coming back with another episode of Energy Unleashed real soon. And until then, bye everybody.
Yeah,
and Cosmic
Bye.
Bye-bye.